And we're live. What's up?
Oh, nothing. What's
thanks
up,
for
man?
Doing this. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I like how you dressed. Very casual. Look like.
Yeah, it's all about comfort these days.
Like part, like monk-like. There's like a lot of monk-like to what you got. The shaved head and the wooden beads and the whole deal.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I mean, I kind of decided that, like, ever since cutting my hair, that, I don't know, I'm just going to do away with, like, not being comfortable in any area. So heels, you're going to have to pay me to do that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I'm not a big fan of heels because I can't run away in them.
That's a good point. I think that's why they made them.
Yeah.
I mean, it only makes sense. Like, girls wearing tight skirts where your legs are constricted, right?
Yeah.
Or tight dresses that go down to your knees, especially.
Yeah.
Those things are – that's like a thing where girls can, like, barely walk. You have heels. Your toes are down. It's like the opposite of being strong. It's like you're very vulnerable, right?
Very vulnerable, yeah. Like, I don't know if it's just because of, like, the way I grew up, but I was always, like, looking over my shoulder. Like, anytime I was walking down the wrong alley, I was always, you know – ready to scope out the area and, you know, just run and be able to run.
I think everybody's like that, though, right? I mean, especially girls. You should be.
Yeah. I mean, just me in particular, just because I was the only girl that looked like myself. I was the smallest all the time or youngest or, like, the only white girl on my block. So it was always, like, I stood out. And so, yeah, I like to be safe.
That's smart.
Yeah. Or be able to, like, you know, throw a kick in these pants.
Yeah. Those, like, sweatpants or something? What do you got on?
These are called harem pants.
Harem pants?
Yeah.
Let me see. Get up there with that. Oh, they're crazy. They're, like, they got cool designs on them. What are those designs?
I don't really know. But they're super comfy. And I got, they came off this website called harempants.com or something like that.
And what are the wooden beads about?
So this is, I got it from a friend, Cassie Robb, who's also a fighter. She's my teammate back at home, and she gave it to me leading up to the fight with Joanna, and just for some strength and courage. So I think this is supposed to, like, give you, like, some type of confidence or whatever.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's just, like, an energy bead. I don't know if it really, like, I mean, I guess it works, but,
if
you know.
Believe it works, it works.
Exactly. That's kind of how I always feel about
it's
everything.
It's like a placebo effect, right?
Yeah.
I got to tell you that your victory speech after you beat Joanna was my all-time favorite. Because it wasn't even just about you or about the fight. It wasn't about anything. It was just you expressing yourself. Pat, what are you doing over there? You all right?
Checking out this little tassel.
Yeah, no, I just think that
it was an awesome victory speech. It was really amazing. It was you were just spilling your heart out, and it was in your moment to shine, and in your moment to shine, you didn't make it about you.
I think I fight better that way, you know, when I'm you know, it's always about me, like, throughout the training camp. Like, everybody, like, my coaches and teammates, they're always, you know, helping me. And it's just, it gets to be a bit much sometimes, you know, and I want to help other people. It fills my spiritual cup more, you know.
Your spiritual cup.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I've, you know, if your hand's closed to give, you know, you can't be open to receive, kind of thing. And I think that, the more that I can give to people, the more that I can get myself, you know. And I think that, you know, just like plants and animals, the way, you know, if you look at nature, everything is a symbiotic relationship. And I think that humans can be the same way.
That's an interesting way of looking at things. Have you always looked at things like that?
No. I shouldn't say not always, but I always was a person that, you know, wanted to be outside, wanted to be in nature. I grew up in a, like, urban jungle in Milwaukee and just concrete everywhere, you know, no place to go outside except for, you know, just playing in the alleys and stuff. But my lineage is from Lithuania, where they're, like, very in tune with nature, and they're pagans and, like, slash Christian. And so they really, you know, just my whole family, you know, they come from living off the land and stuff like that. And so that's always been something I wanted to do. I was just put in a situation, you know, just to, you know, try and do martial arts and trying to, like, you know, I guess control my emotions and stuff, just living in this, you know, chaotic environment that I grew up in. And nature is where I felt the most peace at. So that's always something that I connected with. And then the more that I kind of focus on nature and animals and stuff like that. I noticed that, you know, there's a, I don't know, I try to live my life the same way.
Well, it's just interesting leading up to that fight, too, that you are kind of like the antidote to a lot of the things that people are getting annoyed at in MMA. All the trash talking and all the negativity and all the, like, fighting at press conferences. And you just shut all that shit down with Joanna. Yeah.
Like, I mean, there needs to be balance, you know? It's like, I mean, I like entertainment, you know? I'm not, you know, I should talk sometimes too, you know,
right.
But there just has to be a balance, you know, and it has to be honest too. Like, if you really feel this way about somebody, like if you're really upset with this person, yeah, say how you feel. But like, don't just go out of your way just to be entertaining because you think it's going to be funny or something, or you think it's just going to be like, it's not genuine, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right. But it was just the way you handled yourself, like, because her whole thing is talking shit. Her whole thing is scaring people. I'm the boogie woman coming to get you.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff. And you were just dead-faced. And I think that fucked her head up. I really do.
You ever see that video of, like, the, what was that video?
How to Humble a Bully.
Not that one. The one you just showed me earlier was, like, is this dude, like, standing in front of an elephant?
Oh, yeah.
And he, like, started charging at him.
Getting
and then he was, like, calm, you know? And
that
he
guy
just
got
stood
lucky.
There. Yeah.
That guy got lucky.
Very lucky.
He got lucky.
Yeah,
that
I don't know
elephant
how
really
he
didn't
was,
want to trample him.
Yeah, we just watched it. Elephant is coming through and it's like,
yeah, I've seen that.
And the guy just stands there in one spot and it stops.
That guy got lucky.
But yeah, I think that's
don't try that at home,
no,
kids.
Yeah, no. Yeah, not advertising that at all.
Obviously, because you're talking about an animal.
Right, right. But it's just, I think it's a good analogy to draw from, like, Joanna's energy. She was very, like, chaotic and very in my face and very threatening.
Intimidating.
Yeah. And like, yeah, don't go out of your way to stand in front of an elephant that's running at you. Like, that, don't put yourself in that position. But I had to be there. That's my job, you know? So,
right.
So when you're in those situations where you, like, you don't know what to do, you know, you just stay calm.
Yeah. Well, you didn't just stay calm. You stayed eerily calm. And you were like, reciting the Lord's Prayer. When I asked you that, I was like, whoa. I was like, what are you saying over there? And you're like, I'm reciting the Lord's Prayer. I'm like, whoa.
Honestly, because, like, the whole training camp was just crazy. But, like, that week in particular, like, I was convinced that this might be my last fight. This might be my last day on earth. Like, I was so just, like, ready for anything at that point.
Why were you thinking that might be your last fight?
I don't know. Some crazy. I don't know. Just because I don't know. I think I started to think that almost like every fight is because it's a
crazy way to make a living.
Yeah. It's tough. But
and,
it's the best thing in the world, too.
Especially all of the stressors that came along with this fight in particular.
Right.
Especially all of those. Like, and then we had in that fight a few, like, kind of, I don't want to say magical moments, but say, for instance, we bring Mishka with us everywhere we go.
Your dog.
Yeah. Our flight was delayed 4 hours. And when we landed like a few hours after that truck drove through the park and killed all the people in New York, which was right by our hotel, which if we would have been there on time, we would have signed the posters and then been outside at a park walking Mishka. So, I mean, just little things like that. Like, we would have been outside maybe at that spot and had been witness to that thing.
Or at least would have heard it or something, you know.
Right.
And that would have affected me, you know. And
The Antifa march?
Yeah, and there was just all this stuff about, you know, like, people are going to be protesting and stuff like that. And they even, like, the day of the fight. And I just get a lot of anxiety over that stuff. I get anxiety over, like, big crowds of people. And it's like, you know, these people are crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's... Yeah, I wasn't even just thinking about the fight with Joanna. It was more than that, you know? It was, like, what all her energy represented to me, like, all my past. Like, just negative people that, you know, want to strike fear into your heart, you know?
Right.
And I wasn't going to let that happen, even though I was scared. But, you know, I just, I wasn't going to stop doing what I was doing just because of that.
But you were, like, eerily focused. Like, one time she stuck her fist in your face and touched your face. You didn't even move.
Yeah. Because I know she needed a reaction from me. You know, it's just like with anybody, you know.
But
if you don't give energy to something negative, you don't feed the fire, you know.
Yeah, that's got to be a mind fuck for her, though, right?
Right.
Because she's so used to people reacting to her and headbutting, you know, going head-to-head with her and trying to show her. And you just stayed calm.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, it's either you really, I mean, it's either one of two things. Either you really dislike me enough to, like, you know, put your hands on me outside of the competition, or it's fake, you know, or it's a character, or you're just doing this for show.
Right.
You know, it's either one of the two. And I just don't think she's really a bad person. I just think that, you know, she's put in this position, and maybe she, you know, that's what she felt like she had to do.
Well, I wrote something about the Volkan Ozdemir Daniel Cormier fight the other day, that what Ozdemir was trying to do and what Cormier was trying to do is, like, they're trying to sow seeds of doubt, that you're trying to, there's a real issue with someone that's about to fight, where you're about to compete, and it's this crazy nerve-wracking thing, and the unknown is always there. You don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
So if someone can convince you, I'm going to fuck you up, you're like, God damn, is he going to fuck me up? Like,
yeah.
You really start thinking it, if you if it's in your head. And that one of the things that Daniel said in that fight was that there's levels to this thing. Like, you think you're going to come in and fuck me up? This is crazy. There's levels to this. You haven't experienced this yet.
Right. And that's just something that I have a lot of respect for Ioana still, you know, and I think it's great that I was put in this position to face her, because I had to get better in order, like, I had to get up to that level, you know, to face her. And I had to do a lot of research and work on my, you know, mental stability. I mean, she kept saying I was mentally unstable, like, in those, you know, phone calls and stuff, like the conference calls beforehand. And I was like, at first,
why was
I was
she
kinda,
saying you were mentally unstable? What was the?
I don't know.
Because Rose is mentally unstable.
Yeah. Well, my dad is.
She was correct.
Yeah. Like, in what way?
I mean, well, I don't know. To me, I can't speak for myself, but, like,
Pat,
it's
you
just
speak
a.
For
it's just
I
a,
can speak for.
Yeah. Please do.
I mean, I'm sure you could come up with all kinds of stuff, but
no, it's like everyone getting ready for a fight. It's there are some people who can be excited about the fight the entire time, and they don't give a shit about anything, and they love it. And then there's also the ones who get ready for a fight, and while getting ready for the fight, it's nerve wracking, and especially with all of the boogie woman and all the you're mentally unstable, and then in the history with her dad and her history growing up, and just all of those things coming to a head. This was exactly what Rose wanted it to be, the scariest possible situation for her to be in. In New York, with the Antifa march that happened in front of the hotel the morning of. We almost didn't make it to the fight.
What was going on? This was the anti-Donald Trump march?
Yeah.
Right?
Something, yeah. And it sounded way bigger than it was, you know, because I just, you know, like there's
a
quote.
That was when we had a walk, right? We had a walk to the arena? No, that was a year before.
Yeah, yeah. It happened the morning of the fight right through the front of the hotel, which that's fine. But Rose had seen some weeks in advance, someone somewhere posted that Antifa was going to, they were going to strike on November 4th.
Like yeah, they were planning on taking over the whole country.
They were planning on a strike on November.
It ended up being nothing. Like, seriously, I was like, we were getting ready. Like, we had done our morning shakeout, you know.
What's the morning shakeout?
So, like, the day of the fight, we always like to, first thing we do when we get up is just shake it out. Like, because all your nerves and stuff, like, all your, like, nervous energy is inside of you the day of the fight. And you just want to, you don't want to go to the arena the first time breaking a sweat or getting that heavy breathing, you know, because.
So a workout before going to the arena.
Yeah.
So what kind of workout do you do? Just, like, light mitt work or?
Actually, we blow it out hard. Like, we just get it out. You know, like,
really?
You know when you first start running or something, or you do a workout and you just, like, breathing heavy?
Right.
Like, you get your first, like, heavy wind out?
Yeah.
That's, like, you just blow right through it.
So what
and
kind of stuff do you do?
Just hit pads, like intense, you know, just whatever I'm actually it is like you go off of a feel, you know, whatever you're feeling. Like some days when I fought Tisha, I was like kind of sick and on antibiotics because I like got the red tide or something. So I like and I barely slept and like so I didn't our shakeout was not very long. Like it was like okay, I gotta save my energy to get to the arena. So we barely even did one. But like for this one, the shakeout was pretty normal, you know. We just hit pads.
Hit pads for about 7 minutes, and then she shadow boxed real hard for like 5 minutes, and then
maybe we might do a little bit of grappling or something like that. But yeah,
and then it was.
And then
just
we go
set.
To the, and then you know go take a nap, like you know, get in a shower, you know, kind of visualize and just like lay down. Not even take a nap, but just like close your eyes.
What do you always eat the same thing on the day of a fight?
I barely even eat on a fight day, like. The way I cut weight is I'll do like the day before I'll do, I mean, I don't really have to cut that much weight. So, but like, I'll do like a juice fast. Like for one day, I'll just drink fluids. And then the next day I'll sit in a hot shower and then just sweat it out. Because I don't like to, I don't like to dehydrate myself too much. Like, I'd rather have fluids and no food than lots of food in my stomach and no fluids.
Right. And she's talking about sweating out 2 pounds.
I know, shut up. No, like 5 pounds last time. I'm getting bigger now. this fight was, I think it was like 125, 130. I can't remember. I think like the week of the fight, I was like 127. And like by the time weight cut started, I was like 125-ish.
So yeah. you're cutting 10
or
pounds.
Or 120.
She was 119.
Dang, I can't remember. I don't even know.
When we started the weight cut. She, Rose walks around lately because of just the growth in size. Lately, she's been walking around 125, 127. Yeah. But every fight, it'll like the day before weigh-in, she's
yeah, but fight week, I'm like 120. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
talking about going to saunas, like, oh, man, what are we going to do to get this one off? It's like, man, go spit.
So you don't have like a particular type of food that you like to eat the day of?
Or a
kind of food, like carbohydrate rich, or like what do you
It depends fruits? On where I'm at. So like, mm-hmm. you know, because every place has different food, and like right. some places there's like nasty food. But in New York, there's this like little smoothie shop across the street, and there's this like most delicious smoothie that like – It's I just had it all week.
A chocolate rose.
Yeah, it was a chocolate rose. It was really good. So I had that like every day of the week. And that was, I think, the day of the fight, I had like a little bit of that. But I don't know. When Marty Morgan was his coach, he always used to say, like, you know, you have enough like food and energy in you to sustain you for the fight day. It's more just like mentally, like if you want to eat something.
Right.
But so ever since he ever said that, I was like, yeah, I never wanted to eat during fight day. Because I'm just like so
nerves. And,
yeah, you can't digest it. You have to be like relaxed.
What kind of diet do you follow normally?
I try and make everything homemade as possible. So that's like kind of my thing. You know, I'm never anti anything. I don't like to be like, I mean, except for lots of sugar and obviously like things that are like obviously bad for you. I like to make everything from scratch as much as possible.
So
and
you
the
cook?
More, yeah, the more like. The more process that something takes in order to make it from scratch, I think the less you should eat it, you know? Like something like bread, you know, if you do it from scratch, like make your own starter culture, and like you, that takes like a week by itself, and you have to add more flour and water to it like over time. It takes another 2 weeks. So like you shouldn't be eating bread every day, you know? So it takes a lot of work. But like say, you know, if you have like a garden, you got tomatoes, which, you know, we grew the last camp, you know, you could just eat those real easy because you just pick it and eat it.
So you make your own bread, too?
I tried once, and it was all right, but I had to work on it a little bit more. But that's, like, my goal, you know? It's, like, to try and make everything from scratch. And
that's
like,
interesting.
She makes her own kombucha.
Oh, yeah. Do By you? The way, this is pretty good. Like, normally I don't like I would use this brand to, like, make my own.
GTs, yeah.
Yeah, I like to do, Strong. Like, the starters, Gobi right. or whatever, but... Yeah.
Usually
I don't like them, just like by the, but this one's pretty good.
Yeah, GTs is my favorite. Mm-hmm. You have to have a driver's license to purchase that. You have to be over 21.
Really?
Yeah, because it's got more than 0.5% alcohol by volume, so it's impossible to get drunk off of it. I mean, it's just got a very marginal amount, because of the fermentation, there's a marginal amount of natural alcohol in it.
Yeah.
So you have, but that's the good ones. The other, there's other ones that you can buy in any store, those are
watered
down.
Just like, they don't even have like the scoby in them. I like making it myself though, because I think it tastes a lot better. Like I'll use green tea instead of black tea, and I'll like add ginger and stuff like that to it.
Mm, cool. Yeah, I did that for a while. I just get tired of it.
Like, I know,
having big bowls laying around.
With a little giant science slimy experiments, thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's fun to do. But I was doing that in the 90s. Like, way back in
the
day. Yeah, I got one from Andy Dick.
Yeah.
Andy Dick gave me, like, he was making it in his house. I was like, what are you making? He gave me some. I was like, this is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So yeah, like, diet-wise, I mean, I try not to be too scientific on stuff, but, you know. Whatever makes you feel good, I think is what you should eat.
So
I don't like sweets or anything like that. I don't really. I grew up, you know, my mom was Lithuanian. Like, my parents were actually Lithuanian refugees that came. I'm first generation American, and we grew up like eating sauerkraut and potatoes and, you know, just real Eastern European type stuff, you know. So I never really like candy or anything like that. So I've always just been, it's been a, like a lifestyle for me, and never like a thing that I'm on this diet that I have to do. And you know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did you get involved in martial arts?
My stepdad put me and my brother in Taekwondo, like, from a young age. And then from there, you know, it was just such a positive thing for me just because, like, it kept us out of trouble. It, you know, taught me how to defend myself, gave me confidence, things like that. And then we also, like, watched a lot of Dragon Ball Z growing up. So, like, we thought we were, like, you know, badasses or whatever, and we thought we could power up and stuff. So it was a fun thing for, like, as kids. And then it kind of just evolved into more of, like, a, you know, real life application. And, you know, people used to make fun of us, like, you know, for doing that. But we also used to get in, like, little fights on, like, in our neighborhoods and stuff. And, you know, my love for martial arts grew from that. And then I just wanted to try every martial art. You know, it's like, you know, the, like flavors of ice cream, you know, you just want to try all of it. So, sure. So I tried karate after that. Then that's where I got introduced to jiu-jitsu for the first time, like, real basic, you know, positional things. And then, you know, weapons and stuff.
Stick fighting.
Yeah, I did stick fighting for a while. That was pretty fun. Yeah. With, like, you get, like, the head cage on. Oh, okay. You just, like, whack each other and shit. Yeah, it's fun. And then pancration. And then after that, once I got into high school, I was doing a lot of sports and stuff, like cross country, basketball, track, everything. Like, I just try to be as active as possible, try and stay busy. Cause,
wrestling?
Yeah, I did a little, like, one season of wrestling as a senior. And then, you know, I did kickboxing, and I met Pat at Duke Rufus's gym in Milwaukee. And then that's kind of where, you know, I saw guys like him, Anthony Pettis, all those dudes, like, doing it as a profession. So I was like, I mean, I could do it as a profession too, you know?
Wow. And how old were you at the time?
So I first walked into Duke's gym, I think I was like 14, and then I left because I had, like, other obligations and, like, you know, stopped training for a while, but I was, you know, still doing other sports and stuff. And I came back, you know, when I was like 17.
So you were really thinking at that time, like, maybe this would be something you could do for a career?
You know, not for sure, but, like, definitely, like, I was always going to be involved in martial arts no matter what.
Right.
So, like, as a hobby.
Did you have another thing that you were thinking of doing before that, though? Like, when you were thinking about your future?
Yeah, I mean, I knew that I had to do something for money. So, like, right. I tried a semester of college and realized it's like, this is just like high school, but I'm paying for it. Like, this is stupid. So I stopped going. I really liked English. And so I thought maybe I could go into that, or, like, my stepdad tried to push me into computers, and I was like, this is stupid. Like, I'm good at it, but it just really doesn't excite me at all. And so, you're like that tassel.
If she wasn't doing martial arts right now, should I not be touching this?
I don't know.
Okay, all right, cool.
What's the problem?
I just
looked
over.
You're just weird over there. You're making a lot of motion.
I'm hanging this out, man. I think Rose would have been farming.
Farming?
Yeah. So, like, my, that's always been, like, my thing is, like, you know, when they ask us what we want to be when we grow up, is I always said I want to be a farmer. Like,
really?
Ever since I was a kindergartner.
Just because you like the idea of growing things out of the ground and, like you were saying before, making your own food from scratch. And
yeah, a tomato from your garden that you grew tastes so much better than from the store.
Now, when you two started hanging out, and Pat had already been an accomplished kickboxer, was an MMA fighter, and did that sort of embolden you to the idea?
To the fighting?
Yeah.
Like, professionally? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I saw, you know, Gina Carano and Cyborg fighting at the same, like, that big fight that they had. And then that's kind of what inspired me to, like, I was like, oh, I can take this to the next level.
Wow, the Gina Carano thing, that got a lot of people in the MMA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
She was the first. A lot of people don't even know. A lot of these kids today that, you know about Ronda Rousey, and they got introduced into the sport. Gina Carano was the original Ronda Rousey. You know, she was the one back in the day.
Yeah, I liked her a lot. You know, she definitely broke some barriers, you know, and then obviously Ronda, you know, came after her and took it to, like, even quadruple that. So, it's awesome.
What does it feel like to be the champ now? Because that's a crazy, It's a crazy thing that happened. The fight was insane. And if people thought you were going to win, they probably thought you'd win by submission or maybe by decision. But when you cracked her in the first round and dropped her and put her away, and then DC starts screaming, Thug Rose! Thug Rose!
Yeah.
That's like one of my favorite times commentating with DC, too, because he just was overcome with emotion. Just couldn't help it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's like somebody asked me, like, what's different since you've been champ. And I'm like, really? I'm just sitting here trying to figure out what's different. You know, like, obviously, I'm sitting here talking to you. Like, that's cool. But
I would have talked to you before.
Yeah, I mean.
It's kind of cool to talk to you now that this crazy thing happened.
Right, right. So, yeah, I mean, things are different. You know, like, I definitely notice more people recognizing me. And
well, you have
stuff
a very
like
unique
that.
Look, too, with your shaved head.
Yeah, I can't hide. Don't worry.
You'd have to wear wigs to go to the movies, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
And you guys are going to fight again in April.
Uh-huh.
Back in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Thug Rose coming to Brooklyn.
Thug Rose is coming to Brooklyn.
What when the fight was over, did you take some time off? Like, how did it even sink in? Like, how long
did it take? Oh, yeah, we had to get the fuck out of there. We had to go home. Like, like all that stuff, like the truck accident and like the protests and all this, you know, paranoia that I had to hide away. I'm a hermit, so like I like to be.
Bro,
we went
straight to the airport 2:30.
2:30 in the morning?
Our flight wasn't until 9 a.m.
Yeah, wow. We just headed to the airport. Because we heard there was going to be a marathon, right? Yeah, the next day.
Yeah, we heard there was going to be a marathon, but also Rose did what she did. And as soon as it happened, we all went, oh, fuck. Oh,
I
right,
feel like I robbed a bank. Like, I was like, gotta go home.
Everybody be cool. Just keep smiling.
Wow. Yeah, that was a...
I mean, obviously, I knew that was going to happen. Like, I actually envisioned me knocking her out with like an uppercut in the third round because I thought she's gonna be like overly aggressive after a certain point and she would get frustrated. That didn't happen because she thought I was throwing a jab. But yeah,
why do you think that? I mean, when you went into that fight, she was such an overwhelming favorite. She was thought of as being one of the pound for pound top fighters in any weight class. And why did you think you were gonna knock her out?
Because everybody tries to take her down. Everybody's so desperate for the takedown that it's like her striking. I mean, just from what I see, I stood across from Valentina Shevchenko and like we go like back and forth. Like it's not a thing to me. Like I got Pat H.G. Berry in my corner. I got Trevor Whitman in my corner. And I've done taekwondo striking like my whole life. Like it's not something that I've never seen before.
Right.
You know, and just that Dutch style of kickboxing, like it's great, it's hard, it's very intimidating to stand across from, but you know it's very rhythmic on the beat. Like it's not, I don't know. It's just something that it looks scary, but it's not to be scared of, you know.
That's interesting the way you're putting it, because most people thought of her as being like this very solid, her fundamentals are rock solid.
Yeah.
She's incredibly technical, vicious jab,
you
know, but you just saw that the rhythm was predictable.
I mean,
we knew everything she was going to do before she did it.
That's, it's just we've been watching it for a long time.
Right.
You know, like, and she is she's the most dominant female. Like these girls could not hang with her, you know, and she's still the best out there, you know.
Joanna's been on the radar since she beat Carla. Like, we knew that was the fight since she beat Carla. And it was just a matter of how were we going to get there? Like, what route were we going to take to get there? And so when the fight came around, this entire training camp was mental. It wasn't physical. The whole training camp, every day was mental. Mentality, mind, mental strength, just mental. The entire training camp. And one of the keys to the fight was knowing what she's going to do before she does it. And I mean, not just in the fight, but in the interviews, in the press conference.
Backstage.
Like, we knew everything that was going to happen, and it all happened exactly the way we knew it was going to.
Wow.
Yeah. This was an excellent dissection of a person, of an athlete.
Now, what is the feeling like having gone through that, having accomplished it, having literally blown it out of the water, right?
Right.
You smashed her in the first round. Crazy moment.
Yeah.
Now you got to do it again.
I know. Yeah, that's the tough part.
What's the thought? Right. What's the thought process?
You know, just you can't make the what is the saying? He always said, I don't know, I'm gonna mess
Mona
it up.
Lisa?
But
Mona
yeah,
Lisa?
You can't paint the Mona Lisa twice, you know, like
right.
So it can't be the same approach, you know. It has to be something different. It has to be but you know, at the same time, if it ain't broke, don't fix it either. So like it's gotta be a combination of like, yeah, we're gonna keep doing what we're doing, but you know, keep getting better. Obviously, all the time. I mean,
that
sounds
a
little general cliche.
Like, we don't prepare for one in particular person. It's always Rose is on the road to getting her black belt. And that's what the mission is. I mean, of course, we do get into particulars based on who it is, but that's only for a very short period of time. The whole goal is just to make Rose a black belt in grappling, wrestling, striking, like,
and just in life in general,
interviews, you know? Everything. Just become a black belt, become a master of all of it, and that's been the goal since.
Like even another, like he was saying, the mentality of this last training camp, it wasn't just like. You know, okay, I'm gonna journal, which I do, you know, journal a lot. Or I'll, like, you know, like we talk about just doing like a float tank or something like that. Like those little mental exercises are great, but also like working on creativity. What's up?
I was about to say I was just doing the number of ice baths you took.
Oh yeah, I did a lot. ice baths. Yeah. Ugh,
every
the
day.
Last one was the worst.
Every
like
day.
Every day.
But like every day to a point where it actually became challenging for me to get the water colder because I was like, this is ridiculous. How she can get in and within under, now it's gotten to a point now, it's been under 25 seconds. Like, the, you know, when you first get it, it's like, ha, boom.
Right.
Like it's under 20 seconds. Under 20 seconds and she's just stone faced. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Mm. The last one that I did, like it was hurting so bad. I was like crying. Like I never had ice baths where I started crying, like because it hurts a bit. But anyway, like, yeah. So that and then
do you find a lot of benefit from that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. Like I mean the, yeah.
Reduction of inflammation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then just like mentally and emotionally too.
Right.
You know, because it's like, why is this so scary? But it hurts, you know.
Yeah.
But it's good. I mean, if you can get in a cold ice bath and. Nobody standing across from me is going to scare you. You know? There's nothing scarier than the cold. But also, and I was trying to say this the whole time, but I've been also getting back into piano because I, you know, used to play piano as a kid. And I got away from that ever since, like, moving from state to state and not having an actual piano, just a keyboard. It's, like, stupid trying to play on a keyboard. But I finally got a piano in my house. And so, like, that's another thing that I started incorporating into my, you know, training, just, like, training my mind and just be more creative and just having like an outlet too.
That's interesting. So you mm-hmm. feel like that benefits you just being creative on a piano and playing music.
I think there's a lot of parallels between music and fighting.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah. You think so too, Pat?
I don't know. I don't.
Well, yeah, I was classically trained in piano and jazz in high school. And I was my mom's a pianist, and so, like, it kind of runs in the family. And so we have been, you know, doing that as long as I've been doing martial arts. And it's just a good balance, you know, just, like, gardening or anything like that is mm-hmm. to, you know, fighting and hurting people.
It's weird. I think it almost might, like, almost help with her body mechanics in a way to be able to control an individual finger at different times and hit one beat on left hand and a different, totally different something on the right hand. And to be able to... just
do
all of that, but over and over and over and over again, right. And no matter how many times you play the same song, you just keep playing it and you love playing it, like, over and over again. I think that gives Rose, like, a cat-like balance in a way.
That's interesting. Have you seen, I'm sure you have, seen a lot of those things that people are doing now where a light will go up on a board and you have to touch the mm-hmm. light? Like, Lomachenko does a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Where there's these things that are supposed to, like, be training your neurocognitive function
right.
and your ability to react quickly to things.
Right.
But there's probably some parallels in that, right?
Like this, I would think so.
Yeah.
I mean, like we said before, it's like if you believe in it, it works, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever makes you feel good, like, whatever makes you happy, too.
We've got a new idea for the second one. We've been seeing the lights and the touch this and that. And I think for this next fight coming up, a big Rose's next evolution in her game, I think, is going to be kind of like a sniper-like accuracy. So we have an idea of having Rose punching tennis balls out of the air.
Hmm. Have you ever tried that hat? You know that hat
yeah.
with the tennis balls on the hat?
And yeah. I haven't tried that yet. No.
Yeah.
Don't like that.
You don't like that hat?
No.
Why?
I think I don't know. I mean, what's it? It's for accuracy.
Lomachenko loves it. He does a lot of.
He does look, like, pretty cool doing
yeah.
it.
Oh no, he's a man at it. But I, in my own opinion, I think that this is staring at this thing and where's it going.
I do think like a double end bag is awesome
being fluid.
Too.
He's just got that tennis ball in front of him. He's being fluid.
Yeah.
There. You can see him practicing with it.
Yeah, that's cool as a mug, man. Accuracy. Like I said, that's somewhat of an idea that we have an idea for this next training camp. Where we're going to be launching tennis balls at Rose and having her punch balls out of midair, but not hitting the ball, but right. standing there and throwing jabs as the ball drops right in front of him. Boom. Just okay. punching the ball, yeah. like throwing, but throwing real punches.
Versus, this is your own idea that you came up with?
Yeah, I had a dream. It was weird, man. It was I just saw it, and if we throw multiple balls at you in different ways, and she can like throw a real jab and hit a ball, boom, mm-hmm. then she'll be able to, I think her reflexes for hitting someone right in the tooth, you know, while they're moving,
right.
is going to be more elevated.
And this is like just, you know, this is like I said, we always add new stuff. You know, it's right. like it's never we don't ever go away from hitting a freaking bag, you know, right. or doing mitt work. You know, like you got to do things.
Do you do road work?
Yeah, I love running. I love running. I did cross country and track in high school and I was really good at it. But I think I was trying to run for the wrong reasons. Like, I was trying to just get a scholarship and get out of the house and just go away. You know, like, so I was, like, I felt like it was more of a job than it was, like, just for fun. And now I run for fun, and it's great, you know. It's just, like, a, I don't know. I think there's a book called, like, Born to Run, mm-hmm. and it's great. I think we all are born to run.
Do you run with minimalist shoes?
Yeah, I have some tennis, or toe shoes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. do you run with those? Is that what
mm-hmm.
you...
Yeah, and, like, my brother, like, he takes it to a whole nother level. He, like, does barefoot
Jesus.
Completely. Yeah, I'm like, he's crazy. But I try it a little bit, but, ouch. Yeah.
What's he running on?
Just anything.
Noise? Sidewalk?
I know, yeah. My brother's animal. A little different.
Yeah, I guess.
And he's a whole nother level to me, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, who organizes your training camp? Does Trevor do it, or do you guys all do it together?
Yeah,
or?
we're all like a team. That's the key to our little circle, is like always having team meetings, everybody being on the same page. We're not going from one gym to the other to like,
right.
you know, where this coach don't know really what I'm doing or what I just did with this other coach. Like, we're all really good friends, and we all
and it's just four together. Of us. Mm-hmm. It's just four of us.
Right.
Trevor, Tony, Roseme.
Yeah.
Now we have teammates, but the core circle is just four people.
Right. The people that are in charge of how the camp goes.
Like fight handling is what we like to call it. Because it's like, I mean, you don't see Floyd Mayweather going to a boxing like class.
How long has Valentina Shevchenko been in Denver now?
She went back to Texas, but she, what was it? Last year in January? Was it last year?
Like the almost all of 2017.
That is a phenomenal training partner to have.
Yeah.
Man, that was such
it
the
was fun though.
That was perfect timing. That was one of the best things that happened.
She's
that
so
was,
technical.
Yeah.
She's so good. That check right hook that she throws is so when she fought Holly with it, she just shot Holly down with that check hook.
And she's got really good jiu-jitsu. Like it's
And she
just
never
her
stops.
Grind and
she never stops.
Yeah, well, when she submitted Juliana Pena, I was like, oh mm-hmm. shit.
Off it's very
back.
Underrated, yeah.
Very well, everybody's scared of her striking.
Mm-hmm.
And her physical strength, too, is also very impressive, too.
Yeah.
Like, she muscles people
little
around.
Bulldog.
Yeah, it's a little bulldog. She's an angry lady. You know? Like,
yeah. I like her.
Yeah, she's tough. I'm a big fan. And mm-hmm. so, you know, when I heard that you were training with her, I was like, ooh, mm-hmm. that is. That's that you want to sharpen the sword.
Yeah.
Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, and I think like a lot of girls aren't used to training with other girls. Mm. You know, we're used to training with other guys. So it's like, I think it's essential, you know, for us to get together every once in a while. It doesn't have to be all the time, you know,
right.
but because when a girl gets, like if I get you, like another girl with something or she gets me with something, I get so much more angry at it than like, say if like, you know, somebody like Powers, another dude like gets
right.
me with something, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're doing your camp, say, how many weeks out do you say, all right, camp begins now? Like, say you have this April 7th fight.
Yeah.
How many weeks out will you just say, it's time to go to war?
I like to close everything off like 5 weeks out or like 4 to 5 weeks out. Like, that's like where we hit it hard.
It also depends on the scenario and who it is and where we are. Like, everything is a day-by-day feel. Like, there's no, you eat this on fight week and this is the shakeout mm-hmm. that we're going to do. It's going to be five rounds. It's all
kind of based
on
the circumstances. Like, so the last training camp, because we did, like, three training camps with Valentina Shevchenko back-to-back for her, like, do things that really aren't, like, what I've, you know.
Rose was a great training partner.
Yeah, like. Like, this is not the way that I would try and face her, you know. But
so
I want to
emulate
certain
opponents.
Yeah. So, like, just going through all of that and all those challenges, going into this last fight, we kind of just pulled it back. Like, it was very, not intense at all, actually. It was a lot more focused on, like you said, the mental part and, like, doing a lot of, you know, visualization and, like, self-awareness kind of exercises.
Valentina is going to 25 now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she'll be fighting February 3rd. So, yeah. And she's been in Texas, I think, training down there. So, I don't know.
And, like I said, all on field. And what she did with Valentina was off camp. So that was three training camps back to back to back. She had a fight, then Valentina came back, and it was just more nonstop. And the way that Valentina is capable of doing what she's doing, because she trains like, I mean, everybody, oh, this girl trains like an animal.
Everybody does.
10 to 1.
Yeah,
you have to.
10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And Pavel sits there, and like, Rose isn't necessarily emulating someone. Pavel, Rose, go get her. Go. Attack. Yeah. Attack, and if she's not acting right, go get Pat. He'll get her. Like, attack. Like, it's just nonstop. That girl is tough, man. She was one of the biggest blessings for this training camp to come around.
Yeah.
So 5 weeks out is when you really get crazy. Now, mm-hmm. having already faced Joanna and having defeated her so soundly in the first fight, I don't want to ever say that there's a possibility you could underestimate her, because obviously she's a very dangerous and threatening woman. But how do you keep it fresh? Like, how do you approach this with the same sort of intensity and anxiety that you had in the first fight that ramped up like your performance? I mean, that was a big part of how turned on you were and how tuned in you were.
Yeah, I've had I almost get like more pressure and anxiety off of like rematches. I mean, I have all my other past experiences to draw from. So, you know, like when I rematched Tisha, there was a lot of lessons learned there, and I have to kind of apply those same lessons to going forward, or like other opponents where it could be, there's many, like a list of reasons to underestimate this person. Like, I have to remember that, anything can happen at any moment and anybody can be dangerous. And then at the end of the day, you know, whatever's meant to be is meant to be, you know, like, I remember one time, like, in the middle of the training camp, I had, like, you know, I like my little yogi tees where they, like, say, like, a little, you know, saying on it. And it was something like, if it belongs to you, it'll come to you, or something like that. And so it was just, like, kind of, that's how I feel about the belt. It's like, you know, don't go chasing the belt, you know. Just, if the belt's meant to be yours, it's meant to be yours. And do everything that you can to keep it, and do everything that you can to just be the best version of you. But, you know, don't put that pressure on yourself that I have to be the champion or I have to do this, you know, because you don't have to do anything.
The whole quest has been to see if, like, it's just the mentality has been, let's see if I'm better than this next person. Someone out there is better than me. Someone eventually is going, maybe. You know what I mean? Someone out there is better. We just need to find out who it is. And it might be the next person, even if it's someone who we previously fought. It might be her. So we have to be as the most ready possible, because we don't know who that individual is.
And right. I think also, like, focusing on keeping the mentality of, like, being curious rather than having a need to know that you're the best. Like, just being curious if you're the best. I think that's a healthy way to approach it, rather than needing to know, like, I am better than you. It's like, I don't know, because we're all the same. We're all, you know, human beings, you know, like, at the end of the day, like, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
But you went into that fight wholly confident that you were better than her.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right. No, I mean, I definitely feel like I'm the better martial artist, you know, better, and the better fighter too. And it's just I have a lot of going for me, but I just have to remember these things that, you know,
right.
like
stay
the
humble.
Truth. Yeah.
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 Stay focused. Mm-hmm. Stay hungry.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to strength and conditioning, how do you parse that out? Like, how do you how much time do you spend doing that versus how much do you spend on skill work?
It's almost like almost all skill work. I mean, I shouldn't say all, but like the strength and conditioning isn't something that we like is on the first on the priority list. It's kind of just like if we want to change it up or do something different. Like we started doing we just got our bikes. And that's been fun to do, but I feel like strength and conditioning should kind of just be, I don't know. I don't really believe in all these like strength and conditioning culture. I think whatever you believe in is what, you know, works for you, and that it works, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, that's something that I feel like a hamster in a wheel if I'm going into like some guy telling me to do these exercises and do this station and go to this thing for this amount of time. Like, I want to be free. Like, I want to be you know, running outside. I want to do something that makes me happy. And like, or for example, like when we went to Indonesia and we built earthships for like an entire month, and like we did manual labor. Like,
what is an earthship?
It's a self-sustaining house.
Do you think 90% of the people know what the fuck an earthship is?
I think Joe Rogan knows everything. Like, he knows everything. I've never known you to not know something, man.
I'm a curious person. Right. What's an earthship?
An earthship is a self-sustaining house that is built off of like recycled materials. And there's a documentary on it called Garbage Warriors. And this dude, Michael Reynolds, he's in New Mexico. And he fought against legislation like in a community to make a earthship community. And
in New Mexico?
Yeah. And so he fought, I can't remember how long it was, but like 40 years or something crazy, like went to court, like, we need to have this because, you know, and they just wouldn't let him, you know. So he eventually got it. I think it built the entire community. And it's cool. You can go there and like check it out in Taos, New Mexico. It's awesome. And you can like rent some and stay in it and just check it out.
Off grid living.
It looks like Star Wars. Like, it's ridiculous.
Houses built into the ground out of tires. Jamie?
Jamie's gonna pull something up. Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ! Look at these fucking houses.
They're cool.
Yep, they're cool as a mug.
And then
man.
You can have like aquaponics.
I need to go to New Mexico. Yeah. Dude, I need to check out New Mexico. Yeah. God damn it.
Let us know when you're going. There's a hot spring that we go to.
Whoa. It's cool. So, Taos. You know what? We got to go there and interview Rick Strassman. That's where he lives.
Yeah.
He lives in Taos. He says it's all hippies. That place is dope.
It is.
Make a large picture of that
house.
That house looks fucking badass.
Yo, and the thing is, they're not just built anywhere. Like, they do some type of coordinate so the house faces a certain like direction. And the sun comes through and keeps the...
Like, monitors of 70 degrees is, like the best possible way.
Yeah. The coolest mug.
The interior. Yeah.
Yep.
It's cool. Mm. And it's, like, you can have aquaponics inside, and they, like, have banana trees growing in the middle of New Mexico. You know, and you can, like, fish in your living room. Like, that's the dream.
I've seen people do shit like that. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Fish in your living room.
I mean, you can have, like, your, like, aquaponics, you know, where your fish are, and you can have your plants and stuff.
And the fish shit fertilizes your plants. I've seen a lot of that. Yeah. Wow, look at
and
this crazy freaky
water
house.
And stuff. Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
And they're built into the ground, so like they're really resistant to
This house is dope. Yeah. I want to move.
Yeah. So we went to Indonesia and built one of these for like 30 days. And we did a whole YouTube like little video on it and stuff, and
just
it's
YouTube?
Crazy. Thug Diaries. I have like a YouTube channel. I haven't done it
what
in a
is
while.
It called?
Thug Diaries.
Thug Rose. How'd you get that name?
You're such a nice person.
How can you get this thug name?
Because I had to. Well, so you know my ice cold stare, like staring on Joanna. That's I've developed that long ago. You know, because I was never a witty person. I never had like a good comeback for anything. So I just had to beat people's ass like those making fun of me. So, or I had to like scare them off, like just be all serious. So that's like kind of where it came from. And my neighbor, I had some Jamaican neighbors that her name is Erica Gibbs. And she always used to be like, "That's Duck Rose right there." It's like, as you always tell everybody, like, "That's Duck Rose." You see her? She's crazy. Yeah, no.
I'm telling you, that was one of my fondest memories when DC was screaming that out.
Yeah,
that was a pretty genuine moment, man.
Oh, it was 100%. And people gave him a hard time about that. I was like, dude, don't ever change that. That is one of the things that makes you amazing.
Yeah,
like the fact that he's doing commentary, and it's like we're on a couch together.
Yeah.
Like we're watching the fight at home. He's like, "Duck Rose! Duck Rose!"
Right.
And it was genuine. Happiness, you know, it was like he was enjoying that moment, and
it's animated,
and it was so stunning and shocking, and that was his real, honest reaction to
it. Right, that was cool. I like DC, but yeah, so that's why I feel like strength and conditioning. I think that was the best, like just shoveling stuff, like picking up heavy buckets and tires and things like that. Like it made me feel like I was actually doing something rather than just like a hamster on a wheel, just like, okay, I'm working out and I'm getting in better shape, but I feel like I could be actually doing something productive here and getting muscles too.
So to answer the question, we don't really do the strength and conditioning that we do isn't like it's not weightlifting and
I mean sometimes you know like, if we feel like it, but you know
and like
how do you know when to do it? Like say if you're in a camp, like say like when do you know when you want to lift weights or something?
I mean It like for this last training camp, I barely lifted a weight. I don't think I did.
We hardly ever do. Like,
we do, it's more practice, like an off-season kind of thing. Like, yeah. If we're just like, oh, let's practice just go to 24 for fun.
Walk around all day with a 40-pound weight vest on.
Shadow boxing. Shadow boxing is the best workout you could possibly do. Because, really? Like, I think people don't people practice hitting pads all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't ever practice missing a punch, you will get tired. Like, if you throw three punches and miss.
Right.
You never practice that, you'll be surprised at how tired you are.
Yeah, it is kind of incredible how tired you get missing things. It doesn't make sense to people.
And if you watch people shadowbox, even professionals, they suck. Like, it's just like, you know, they just don't do it with no emotion, no, like, visualizing, like, somebody in front of you. Like, if you ever watch, like, my old jiu-jitsu coach back in Minnesota, Greg Nelson, if you ever watch him shadowbox, he's like... He's like fighting people and killing people. Like he's, really? Yeah.
Who's got a great video on shadow boxing is Joseph Valtellini, former Glory champion. He's got a whole series of things put up on his YouTube. He's got some great instructional YouTube videos. But one of the things that he went and talked about is that you should think of that as like you're fighting. You should visualize like fighting and you're going through scenarios in your head. You know, you're checking kicks and countering with right hands and delivering techniques. And
that's where a lot of people they forget about the imagination part of shadow boxing. Like people they leave that out. They think, okay, stand there, throw some punches, throw some kicks, stretch my tricep twice and then throw two more punches and move my head once and that's
they get bored
it.
With
they're
it,
not
you know?
They're not actually visualizing someone in front of you throwing punches and kicks at you and fighting back, and they're not visualizing someone reacting to the punches that you're throwing and firing back and moving around. And when it comes to shadow boxing, that's what we really a strength and conditioning shadow box 40 pound weight vest on, walk around all day, just don't even do anything. We just stay home all day with the weight vest on.
You do that?
Yeah.
Walk
around the dog park, bike riding with the weight. Yeah.
Weight vest is nice. And
What is so good about the weight vest?
What's that thing that they used to get into? Dragon Ball Z?
Hyperbolic time chamber.
No. What was the gravity thing that they got into?
Yeah. Well, that's just part of like that's just like such a reoccurring theme in the Dragon Ball Z series. It's like just gravity training and like because once you take your weight vest off, you just feel lighter.
You can breathe easier.
Oh.
If you can get accustomed to breathing with the weight vest just sitting on your shoulders all day and moving around with this thing, and it's just
it strengthens you,
bruh. And then when you take it off, it's almost like as if you're instantly like, filled with helium.
Do you like you carry like backpacks and stuff when you go hunting and stuff?
Yeah,
yeah.
So I even have a pack that I wear that has a bolt on it for Olympic plates.
Mm-hmm.
It's called an Atlas weight trainer by a company called Outdoorsman's, and they make it specifically so that people can train for hunting scenarios where you have these heavy packs on, so you could put 90 pounds on your back with these plates, and it clamps down just like a regular barbell, has a whole locking mechanism on.
Right.
But it's a real good backpack where it, like, sits on your hips and connects in. And
like,
sits,
stabilizes
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, and it's perfectly, like, tuned into your, you know, or padded right for your shoulders and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to be, like, against strength and conditioning, but it's just whatever makes you happy. Like, I don't feel happy doing strength and conditioning. Like, I want to do, like... Yeah, have fun with it too. Like, but I like manual labor. You know, I like digging holes. I like getting dirty. I like being outside, kind of thing. So, but I used to power lift like before I got to Colorado. You know, so that was a great thing for me at the time. And I think it's just phases. You know, you just do different things. You always got to change it up. And like, there's this. Were we watching that one weightlifting documentary where he's like, if you can't do a deadlift, you know, there's no point in living. And it's like, deadlifts are the shit, you know, and squats and just like the basic, you know, like powerlifting positions or like movements. But overall, I just like to, like one training camp when I fought Paige, I literally, for a strength and condition or for a conditioning exercise, I would chase my dog for like five minute rounds because she's the fastest thing ever. I couldn't chase her, so or I couldn't catch her.
That's
so,
hilarious. That's a good way to do it. I mean, Rocky used to chase chickens, right? Remember that?
Right. Yeah.
Look, running. I run with my dog all the time. It's fucking dogs are in shape, man.
Bruh,
they don't get tired.
And not
Michigan, and we have videos of it. It's like that's getting ready for a fight. What's she doing? She's chasing the dog. What else? Yeah. She's chasing the dog. I mean, it shouldn't be
a miserable thing, you know? Right. Like training camp, it should be hard work.
Right.
But it should also be fun.
Right.
You know, like, what the hell am I doing if I'm not having a good time doing what I love to do? Like, just for money? Like, no, I want to make sure that I'm enjoying myself during these training camps and making sure that if I didn't have this fight, would I still be doing this kind of thing?
I've always said that to someone that is asked, like, how do I get in shape? I said, well, if you take martial arts, the beautiful thing about it is you're getting in shape, but you're having fun.
Yeah.
Like, you're enjoying it, and then you don't even realize how hard the work is because you're having fun.
And you're, like, getting a skill.
Yes.
You know?
You're getting a skill.
It's like
thinking.
It's like gi jiu-jitsu. And this is me saying this. Gi jiu-jitsu is better than lifting weights, in my opinion.
How so?
Because, man, just heavyweight with gi, it's slow, so it's so much static holding.
Right, maybe
I'm doing it wrong, but it's so much static holding.
I'm sure you're doing it right. It's hard.
And when I feel like as if when you get out of it, because it's a fun activity and because it's interesting and it's not just 20. Now, I can hit a set of 100 curls right now. I like weights.
Right.
But gi jiu-jitsu has been just phenomenal, man. Just like the strength that you can get from that. If you're strong there, then you're strong a lot of other places. And when it comes to Rose's conditioning, like Rose, we practice functional things like punching harder, kicking harder,
right,
grabbing the dummy and guillotining it, squeezing it for a 10-second hold and letting it go, and then squeezing
like a Bubba dummy, like one of those.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Greg Nelson are great.
Greg Nelson would walk around with a screamer stick on his arm, and he would just sit there and Kimura the stick over and over again against his forearm, and just Kimura the stick over and over. And
just to practice that technique.
We wondered why is this going on, but then if he grabs your arm, it's pretty hard to stop.
He's actually the reason why my Kimura got so good, is because like we would literally like shrimp up and down the mat, shadow grappling, like Kimuras, just over and over again.
Greg's an underappreciated guy.
Yeah.
He really is. An underappreciated guy in the world of martial arts. Very knowledgeable guy. Nice guy, too.
Mm-hmm. Very knowledgeable. That's one of the guys who you can ask a question about any type of technique or anything, and not only can he give you the answer, but he can give you the history behind it. And he sits up. This dude is a martial artist, out of this world. And he, like, it was a big deal bumping into him, and then taking everything that we've like that she's learned from him, and then coming to Denver, where we met Tony Basile, our grappling coach, and then he took everything that all of the technical things that Rose learned. And took that to another level. Put some flavor in it, man. Yeah. Just took it to another level.
Tony Vingas. It's just a good combination because Greg Nelson is very, like martial artist, like, very strict. And Tony's very, like, you know, very creative and just does different movements and things that you haven't seen before.
I'd like you both to speak to that because it's very important to me, too. How the coaches that you get, the martial arts instructors that you get, the people that you run into, they're so critical. It's so important, and they should be praised. Like, if you see a guy like Matt Hume who could create a Mighty Mouse, I mean, those people, they're so rare. It's like they're so valuable.
And you got to get that connection with that coach, you know, like, that's important, too. Yeah. You know, you got to find the right fit, find the compatibility, and so I think that's why you see some people bouncing around, because it's just like they don't really vibe with this place, you know?
Or you don't vibe with the community, the town that you're in, you know? Maybe you don't want to live in this city, and so you try out Denver for a little bit, or maybe Milwaukee's your spot, you know? It's like there's so many different alternatives, and there's so many different styles that people have. For some people, you know, American Top Team would be the spot. For some people, you know, maybe they should try Montreal and go up to see Farah Sahabi. You know, we're so fortunate now, I think, that there are so many places to choose from where you can go to John Crutch down in Arizona. You know, you go to the lab. You can go to, you know, Duke Rufus in Milwaukee. You can go. There's so many places now. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You just have to find your flavor. Like, there's some places where you go. There's some gyms that you go to, and the training at the gym consists of who shows up to practice that day.
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right, everybody, we're working on single legs and just go and just fight. Yeah. You know what
I mean?
That's
the one thing I don't.
You know, you get better based on who showed up, like all your teammates that showed up. And then there's the coaches where they're very one-on-one-ish, like the Matt Hume created. Demetrius Johnson, like Trevor Whitman, is is good enough to take an individual and make them an individual versus, all right, everyone in the room, we're all going to throw this one jab and that's it. Like,
right.
He's very, yeah. very specific and can make, he can find what you're good at and help you become an individual, like I say, in the gym.
Yeah. And maybe his style is perfectly matched for you, but it might not be perfectly matched for somebody else. And yeah. it's such an interesting relationship between trainers and fighters. And what really bums me out is how sometimes fighters forget. They just forget what got them there. They forget. Right. They think it's all about them. And it's such a selfish sport in a lot of ways because it's really only you in there.
Yeah, I mean, they've been in so many training camps. Like, literally, Pat has a meniscus surgery that he needs to get fixed, you know, and it's like they beat up their bodies just as much as we do to train with us. And I, especially in my situation where it is, like, fight handling and it is, like, very one-on-one kind of a deal, where it's not like I have hundreds of training partners and I go to this, you know, like ATT, for example. Right. They have, like, hundreds of people there and, you know, like, I just have these guys, so
right.
yeah. So it's good to appreciate your coaches.
It really
sure.
is, you know. It really is. It's such an unusual relationship. The relationship between a fighter and a coach. It's
Yeah, I mean, like once I finally went through kind of just my different learning lessons. Like after I fought Carolina, I didn't have him in my corner, and like after like I realized that that was, you know, the missing link, and it's just something that I realized. You know, if I can't do it with these guys, I don't want to do it no more. Right. You know, because it's all about being happy. It's all about what makes you happy. I mean, you ever notice how, like, kids never get tired or, like, they can just run around in circles for forever? And it's because they're having fun doing it. And so that's where the training is based, is, like, whatever makes you happy.
Now, when you look at your future and you say, I'm the champ now,
mm-hmm.
do you have a roadmap that you have? Like, I want to retire in 10 years. I want to get this. I want to accomplish these things. Do you have anything like that, or are you just
playing it by ear? Like, I like to have a plan, and then if things change, and, you know, that's fine. You know, you kind of have to be able to adapt. I plan on not fighting longer than 5 years from now.
You know?
Yeah.
How old are you now?
25.
So 30, that's a wrap.
Yeah. I don't want to fight in my 30s. I mean, I could, you know, by the time that comes around, like time flies. Like, I could be 3 years old and be like, fuck that.
Seven more fights. Start.
Yeah,
one more.
Well, it's also, you have the potential to be a fucking huge star.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to freak you out, but you're at
too
this,
late.
You're at this strange, you're a very unique person, and you're at this very strange time in history where, I don't want to freak you out, but I think the sport needs someone like you. I really think you're unique. You're a very unique individual, and I think that perspective, I think, can help a lot of people to recognize that there's a broad spectrum of people out there that are doing this, and that your genuine behavior and thought process and how in depth your thought process is. I think it's very important right now.
I think it is important, especially for women too. You know, because. We have a tendency to be pretty catty and bitchy towards each other. And I think that if I can show an example to other women to be more loving to each other, and not just, you know, woman to woman, but to each other, man and or woman, I think it's important.
And also the way you shave your head, you're wearing sweatpants, you don't give a fuck. You know, I mean, that, but you're still beautiful. I mean, that's important. And you're also a beautiful person, like your personality. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so needed right now.
Thank you.
I think there's always like in time, there's always dark times and there's light times, there's dark times. And we've been in the world in general for the last few years has been kind of, things have been kind of whack. People are wearing more sunglasses at night. The fighters are getting more ridiculous. It's just, and I feel like as if, not that we've hit a seriously low point, but things have gotten pretty whack. And I have the feeling that after that performance, like after what she did and what she said, that was like a spark of the beginning of things coming back up. Like just things being a little bit more, not so fucking ridiculous. Like I said, everybody's got their sunglasses on. Everybody's showing up with a leather jacket with no shirt on under it. Everybody's like talking crazy shit and just being ridiculous, man.
Well, Conor kind of changed the game.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He did. I mean, he kind of let everybody know how valuable shit talking is.
Mm-hmm. Now everybody's going to be wearing these pants.
Yeah. I hope so. I mean, it seemed to me, I mean, this is just my take on it. I feel like the UFC missed out with Amanda Nunes. They when they were marketing Ronda Rousey for that fight, first of all, I was looking at it. I was like, this is all Ronda Rousey, and she is facing, in my opinion, the worst possible matchup. Mm. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt who hits like a fucking truck and a real tested warrior.
Yeah, Nunes,
but they didn't
scary.
Promote her. Yeah. They didn't promote it. They promoted the Ronda Rousey thing, the Ronda Rousey comeback, and her walking around her mansion frowning like she's coming back. Like, she's coming back to fight a fucking killer.
Yeah.
Like, and why not promote the killer? Like, this woman is murking people. Like, look at what she did to Miesha Tate. Look at what she's doing to people. She's blasting people into orbit.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wins. And here you have this opportunity. You have the very first openly gay woman who is a mixed martial arts UFC champion. First one ever.
Right.
This is no big push.
Yeah,
But that also could, I mean, from what we've just discovered over the last 3 months, that could also be Amanda, though. Like, we left New York that night. And no one, we didn't talk, like, nothing was different for 2 months, bro.
Yeah, but we created that ourselves. Well,
we did that. We went home and we looked out the window for 2 months trying to figure out who's walking down the street. Like, I mean, we shut it down. They wanted Rose to instantly go on a victory tour across New York. They want us to stay in New York. Like, after that whole week in New York, after the fight, they said, we want you to stay in New York to go on a victory tour. And I was like, no way. Absolutely not. We have to go. We have to leave. Not only do we have to leave, we're leaving right
now. But did you think that there was some benefit in doing a victory tour, of doing a bunch of different television shows?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I might have, like, I don't know what I would have even said in interviews at that time, because it was just, like, still processing. Like,
that wouldn't have been a good time.
But I think that's one of the things that people would like, to see you try to process it.
Yeah, I know.
People were going to see Rose do this.
But I honestly think in that circumstance, it's critical who you talk to.
Yeah. Because
you could be talking to some fucking normal morning show dummy, and they don't give a shit about the sport. And they're going to ask you stupid questions. You're only on for 5 minutes. You're like, well, you know, hey, it all worked out. Hey, what's up, Mom? Wave at the camera.
I think, looking back in hindsight, I wish I could have, like, took it in a little bit more, but it was kind of like, okay, next fight, like, you know what I mean? It's just like everything was just, and we're like, okay, let's get out of here. Like,
as soon as the fight happened, we stood up, we shook hands, and we said, everybody be cool. We just got to get the fuck, just got to get home.
I got to say, I like that too, though.
Yeah.
I like that approach too. Just get the fuck out of Dodge.
Hey, like, so in our entire relationship, like, Pat has had to learn this over time, that, like, if I get the instinct to,
Rose got a really good intuition.
We need to bust out. Like, you have to listen to me. Like, now's the time to go. You know, like, I'll just get this feeling. I'm like, something will happen. Like, as soon as we're leaving.
Multiple occurrences where Rose's intuition has been spot on. Hey, yo, we got to get the fuck out of here right now. And we're like, all right, cool. So, like, there's no question. Now there's no question anymore. If Rose said right now we out, we drop, going. we call it, everybody knows it's a countdown.
Yeah.
Rose said, let's bounce, 10, 9, and we're going to launch. The last time she did this, we got to get the fuck out of here. We were leaving. This was one of the first times we had gone out to a nightclub in
Like, we've been saying, like, we need to go out, like, for 3 years. And then, like, eventually Valentina, like, won her fight in Denver. So we're like, we're going out tonight.
We're
going
to go out tonight. All right, well, you want to do it? We're going to do it? And we went out to it. It was fun. And we danced. And for years, we haven't done anything like this. And we danced. And it was great. And everybody had a great time. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, 12:31, Rose says, yo, let's get the fuck out of here.
And
it's instant.
Changed.
It's instant. It's the instant change of the feeling around 1 o'clock or something. I said, we got to get the fuck out of here. And within a minute, we had 8 people. We were grabbing people. Come with us. Let's go. Yo, you're from the gym. How are you getting home? Coming with us. Like, to get in the van. And we walked through the club, down the stairs, past this really big guy that was by the front door arguing with the security guy. Right past him. And as soon as we got past him, he started shooting everybody. Bop, 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 bop. Like, he just started shooting everybody.
What?
And it's been instances like this where
Rose...
And
you were there while the gun was going off?
Bop, 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 bop. And then, not only that, but we got in the van and everybody fucking don't move. The dude, he walked to the car that was parked right in front of us. Like, we were parked... Like, this chick, we're in the van, this chick runs up to the door, she's scrambling trying to get in, this guy's casually walking, we don't know what's going on, he's just casually walking around, we just see this guy, he opens up the door, pulls the gun out, shoots, pow, pow,
Shoots her?
No.
What do you
shoot?
She was with him.
She was getting
the
in the car.
Like, he was having an argument with the doorman, I think.
Because they weren't letting him in or something like that. So he just started shooting. Pow, 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 pow. And then he walked to his car. And then when he got in his car, he said, huh? Put the gun up again and hit him with doo-doosh. And then got in the car and they just casually drove off.
Instances like that where I will call it instantly.
You just think you have very good intuition.
Yeah, because I've just seen stuff like that. You know, like I just can feel the energy of a room like change. Like, you know, when I was a kid and we was just playing basketball, and it's like it's weird how nobody else will pick up on it, like except for myself. You know, in those situations, like I was playing basketball with my friends, and then like down the street, I thought I heard something in the distance that, like, you know, just people talking, or people making noises, but I didn't. You know, there's always noise. We're in the middle of the city, you know. But for some reason, my attention was brought to this noise. Like, it's something's wrong. So I look, and I'm like, man, I think I see some people wrestling over there or something. And then, you know, my friends were like, oh, no, they're probably cool. What are you talking about? And I was like, I'm going to go over there and check it out. And so, like, I, you know, run across the street a couple blocks down. And then, like, all of a sudden, I see a guy have a knife. He stabs him, you know, and then he falls down. And he, like, turns towards me. And then I'm like, oh, shit, you know. So, and then I realized that my little... like dude that I would like help raise like as a kid, because he was like young as well as myself, his name was Matthew. And then I saw him follow me over here, and so I thought I was the only one, so I was like, oh shit, Matthew, go home, you know, like. So we had to run, and then he ended up just driving off or whatever. I don't know if they found the guy or whatever, but
Rosa said shit like, we're on the highway driving on a road trip, she's like, get off right here, like, just quick, get off right here. Oh, go to start getting off, and a car flips over. It's spooky. I don't question it anymore.
And then just the whole thing with the truck driving accident, like that type of stuff. Like, it just seems like, I don't know. And that's why I always believed in the fact that if you're delayed or you're late for something, it's for a reason, you know? And so that's why I was like, the week of the fight, I was like getting nervous, because it's like, we're going to get there late, and, you know, it's going to be, you know, things are starting to go wrong already. And then once we landed, I kind of like put the pieces together, like, oh yeah, that's why everything happens for a reason.
So do you always feel like you're kind of tuned into something that other people aren't tuned into?
It depends on where I'm at in my life. Like, sometimes if I'm living the right way, if I'm healthy, if I'm, like, you know, in shape, or if I'm, you know,
happy,
like, spiritually right, yeah, like,
you're tuned in that way, that you're not troubled. And when you're troubled,
like, if I'm making the wrong choices, if I'm surrounding myself around, like, you know, just evil and stuff, like, if I'm or just like
the wrong people, you're troubled.
Yeah, then I won't have, like,
then you're confused, and
yeah, then it's hard to make clear decisions, or like, yeah,
or to have good intuition.
Yeah,
yeah. So if you're free of regret or remorse of your own actions, you're more clearly, you can discern what's going on in your environment.
Right, yeah. And that's why I say, like,
very, very, very super observant. I mean, just coming up with a. And it's almost like I would say, just from the stories that I've heard of the growing up in the past, because of those experiences, she got a really good at scoping out a room. You know what I mean? Like, really, like, nothing can, like, it's really hard to sneak up on Rose. You know what I mean? She sees you coming from 2 days ago. Like,
right.
She's very observant. Let's say that. And in a way, because of growing up, It's a skill that had to be developed. Yeah. You know, you snuck up on me once, it'll never happen again.
Right.
You know,
and like, we like even, like, as kids, like, you know, people that I used to, like, hang out with on the in my neighborhood, we would, like, help each other out. Like, we would teach each other, like, yeah, don't go down that place, or don't hang out over there because somebody got shot over there. Or, like, you know, like, if the same car, like, circles around this block too many times, like, go inside, you know,
right, kind of thing. Right. Yeah. How hard is it to watch each other fight?
When he was fighting, it was pretty hard for me. But then when I was actually there, when he had a kickboxing fight and I was actually able to be in his corner, I felt a lot better. But being away at home, that was difficult for me.
And also because she knew internally I wasn't ready.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess all the time, but yeah.
That's also the big part of it. Like, I could have been more ready for the majority of the fights that Rose was around for.
And what was wrong?
With me?
Yeah.
Not man, just fighting for the wrong reasons and just not necessarily going about it in the healthiest way. I mean, I had a prescription pill problem. Whiskey was delicious. I mean, just living not the healthiest life and not the best life. Like I said, I was doing it for the wrong reasons. Like there was a when Rose and I met, I said, you are good enough to be a world champ. You're good enough to be the best in the world. And this is something that you really want to do. I'll make sure you never have to have a job. All you have to do is train. If this is something that you really want to do, I'll make sure you never have to work a day in your life. All you have to do is train and be a fighter, and that's it. So as soon as that started, I caught myself getting into fights, asking, how much does this one pay? 25 and 25. All right, cool. I can do some math on it. If I win, I do some math. If I lose. All right, cool. Just get into the fight. You lost. I don't give a fuck how much. Like, I find myself getting uncontrollably getting into that scenario. Now, the kickboxing message she was at, I was ready for that. Like, I actually was past all that shitty decision making that I was making and was actually prepped for that one. But there were other times where, whether it be conscious or not, subconsciously, there was somewhere inside of, I would guess, the mind where we both knew that I hadn't done. I'm supposed to do 10, but no one's looking, so I only did 8, and I just didn't say anything. You know what I mean? Like that type of thing.
Do you have regret?
No. Never. And the reason why is because if I go back and change anything, I won't be sitting here talking to you right now. You know what I mean? Like right. Every decision that I've made, every life experience that I've had, dad passing away when I was a kid, having to do all these different, like all of the decisions that I've made and all of the trials and tribulations that I've been through have been exactly why I'm sitting here right now with a beautiful woman right next to me who happens to be a world champion talking to Joe Rogan. Like,
and, you know, I've learned a lot of lessons from his mistakes, you know, like, or and his successes as well, you know, just watching him, go through all that. It's helped me a lot.
Yeah, no regrets.
Like it's almost like I've been able to experiment with having a UFC career, but not actually having to like do it. You know, like living vicariously through him, and then now I can know what I can do different. It's like doing it all over again.
When did you decide to stop, Pat?
I still not.
You're still not.
No. I'm never going to. This doesn't have to be a belief that everybody believes in, but I believe that if you're a fighter, you don't really retire. You never really retire until people just stop giving you fights. I'm never going to want to stop. I'm always going to want to fight. Always.
When was the last time you fought?
Man.
2 years ago?
It's been a while.
Was it in Glory?
Yeah. No, this was like Legacy?
No, Legacy. I think I fought Demario Dennis was maybe my last fight, last kickboxing match, I think. I think that was it like 2 years ago. But I still want to fight now. I have a lateral meniscus tear that I would like to get. I need for just my own happiness and for Rose's training camp. I need to get done with, like, take care of that because that puts a lot of hindrance on training. And after all these years, as soon as the knee starts feeling weird, I automatically just take it easy and just don't fuck with it too much. But
is it a tear that can be fixed with stem cells, or is it something that has to be done with a scope?
I think it needs a scope. We are just finding out about stem cells. The question I was going to ask you, how do you feel about that? Like, I would, you know, and you, what you told me before. But
I'm a big believer in it.
Yeah.
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 Sure.
It does some pretty miraculous shit if you use it correctly and you get a good doctor.
Yeah. So I'm looking for
Dr. Davidson from the UFC.
Yes.
Yeah. Talk to him about it.
He's who I talked to. I called him kind of in a, we're 11 weeks out from the fight.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to call myself one of Rose's main training partners, and it would be cool if I can get this knee taken care of either this week or next week at the latest, so I can have the few weeks off of recovery and still have 7 weeks left to attack Rose every day. You know what I mean? Right. Like in order for us to do that. But do I want to fight again? Yeah, absolutely. I'm always going to want to fight. I got to fight over yesterday.
Say, hell no.
Yeah, you got to fight over yesterday.
Hell no.
Will
I fight again? No idea. Rose is the star of the show.
Not for pennies, though, you know? Like, it has to be, like, the right thing, you know? Like, it has to be...
I got offered a fight against Pedro Hizo.
Bro, Pedro Hizo.
I think it was going to be, like, on a Sunday at the county fair or something like that.
Pedro Hizo, man. He's a guy who's been around a long time.
A long time.
He's been in some wars.
A long time. But I got offered that, and I said no thank you. But, I mean, I'm still getting the calls every once in a while for not as much
why,
as
why'd you say no thank you because it was a bad offer
No. Well, I don't. not good timing.
And this is an MMA fight or a kickboxing fight?
Man, I think it was going to be a kickboxing match with MMA gloves on, I think.
Mm.
I don't know. But I also had another fight with Eric Prendle that was supposed to be November 18th. That was a kickboxing match with MMA gloves on, I think. And that one got postponed, which was completely great. Like, Rose is the shit. I'm not getting in the way of that. Like, Rose is fucking rolling right now. I'm embracing the role of a coach and team leader now, not being the athlete anymore. And I get it. I know I'm 38 now, whatever the fuck's going on with me, which things are a lot better now. I'm healthy and everything's great. But Rose is where it's at. Like, that's where my time and attention has been since we met. Like, since we met, and it's still going to be that way. Like, Rose is – I'm going to – I said when we met, I was going to make it a point. You will be you have what it takes to be the best. I'm going to make sure of it. You know, like that's the role that I like. That's the role that I like now. It's a lot more comfortable now. Oven baked pizza every fucking night. Like, I love it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's more comfortable now for me to do that. Now at the exact same time, it drives me crazy that I'm not fighting.
You just got to have a good purpose behind what you're doing. You know, that's just like the. Like, bottom line, you know, whatever you want to do, you can do anything that you want to do, but what's your reasoning?
Right.
And for me, at this point, is to change the world. Like, I know it's a freaking...
Your reasoning is to change the world?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
The thing that I can do the best, and I think it reaches a big audience, and I can get my message across. Yeah, and... you know, like you were saying, like, just setting a better example, trying to change the way people think, or at least just offering a different perspective. You don't got to think like me, you know. This is
an active idea.
Yeah.
It's in your head. Like, while you're training, while you're doing media, you're thinking, I have a chance to change the world.
I want to build an urban farm in my community, and I want to make it available for, like, other people. Because the way that I grew up, I wish there was like an urban farm where I could learn how to grow my own food and I could get my own food that was not from the grocery store, you know. And so I want to provide that for other people. And, you know, fighting is the quickest way I can do that, I think, you know. And there's other ways, you know, like
positive influence on someone.
Yeah. For example, I started getting into like some cryptocurrencies and stuff, and there's this thing called Evergreen Coin that's just like, you know, one of the altcoins or whatever. I don't know, it's still pretty small, or whatever, but it's a sustainable cryptocurrency that doesn't use as much electricity, and it kind of goes into every kind of philosophy that I agree upon, you know, and it falls in line with my beliefs, and there's just a lot of aspects about it that I really like. And so that's something that, like, you get it's good for charities. So, like, if you hold some Evergreen Coin, like, you can get some stock in it from I sound kind of stupid trying to recite all this information, but yeah, like, you can generate money with it, and then you can donate it to charity, and it works that way.
So these are just a bunch of different things that you would like to let people know about and help people understand.
Yeah, and I'm still formulating these ideas, you know, obviously, like, because, right. I mean, fighting takes up, like, all your time, you know, but I like to think about these things, and I think it just, you know, over time, it's just going to kind of fall into place, you know, just doing things like, you know, the Indonesia Earthship trip and, like, just doing different stuff that I can build skills for later.
And you're going to do more of this on your YouTube channel?
Yeah, I'm trying to, I've been trying to.
Especially now as a champ, it seems like a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. I've been trying to put together the next episode. I have a whole bunch of footage, but, sorry, guys.
It seems like somebody would want to get involved, like some sort of a production company or something. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, I've got a camera guy, Austin Erickson, who, you know, he does a great job, and it's just been kind of a roller coaster, you know, all this traveling or just, you know, trying to shit together, basically.
We also had to shut it down and put it on pause after the Michelle fight.
Yeah,
like, after the Michelle Waterson fight, however long ago that was, as soon as that was over with, we knew Joanna was next, and everything stopped.
Social media kind of just...
Everything stopped.
Off of like that for a little while, and not off of it completely, but just trying to like minimize it. And because I knew that, Well, I think it, you know, I don't know. It's the most addictive drug, you know, like just being on your phone, and you just fill your head up with just like a whole bunch of information that, like, when you're focused on just this one person, like to defeat this person, this one mission, it's hard to, you know, like you only have so much room in your head for that kind of stuff.
And also so, because we knew Ioana was checking her Instagram every day. And
yeah, it would drive her nuts.
it would drive her crazy to not post anything or be seen anywhere. Like,
she even said in an interview, she's like, she don't want to do social media. So I was like, like, why does it bother you? Like, I don't understand. Like,
well, because she couldn't see you. She had no idea what you looked like. She didn't see you training. She didn't see you doing any of that stuff.
In her defense, it probably she had pay-per-view points.
To sell the
fight. She had a great reasoning to do it, but part of the strategy going into this fight was to ghost Ioana. That was a big part of this game plan, was to ghost her no matter what she says, no matter what she does. And we knew that it was going to come in levels. She's going to say this, then she's going to say this, then she's going to say this, then she's going to talk about your dog. Like, it's just going going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And she might even, we even knew, she's going to touch you. She's going to push you. She's going to touch you. When she does, don't move. Don't react. Give her nothing. Give her nothing. And it worked.
Now she knows, though. So I have a strategy. I'm going to come at her, and I'm going to be stone face. I'm going to put a hex on her.
Right. Yeah.
She's coming. Mega boogie's coming.
Yeah.
She's
gonna be exciting. Mega boogie. I love it. You know, I don't hate on her for doing what she's doing. You know, it's just. It's kind of like silly, you know, to me, but.
But that's to you, but it works.
It worked for everybody.
Right. You know?
Without her and without my contrasting personality, that fight wouldn't have been nearly as exciting as it was, you know? So, I need her. And that's why I think I like to get people to understand, like, other fighters, like, you need your opponent just as much as you need your training partners and your teammates and your coaches, you know? Like, it's your dancing partner. Like, it's the show, you know? And
it's also what motivates
you. But it's real,
you.
Too, you know? Yeah.
It's also what gets you up.
Yeah.
It gets you fired up. I mean, to fight a woman that's that dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
So she told Rose some crazy, like, okay, so all week shit was going on. We missed the car accident. We missed the Antifa thing happened right in front of us. We got down to the locker room and they gave Rose the wrong gloves and didn't want to give her the right gloves. Like, they gave her the wrong gloves.
What do you mean by the wrong gloves?
I need like a bantamweight size glove, and they gave me a strawweight.
They gave
me
a strawweight glove.
And I said specifically beforehand.
Because you have
larger
hands?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She got broken fingers. This was going on.
No, I do it. These are piano playing hands.
Yeah. So we also got to the arena late. Like, usually you get to the arena and you have 3 hours.
Right, but you were just going to say something. You stopped yourself. You said she said something to Rose?
Yeah, so we get to, like, we got to the arena late. They gave the wrong gloves. They played the wrong walkout music. Like,
what was the walkout music?
I have no idea. It was something terrible. Like, it made me so mad.
What were you supposed to come out to?
Originally, what was it? It was
Sweet Freedom.
Yeah, I wanted it. I switched it to that, and all week long I was like, because I wanted something uplifting, something happy, you know, and that was something that we've been jamming out to for like a few weeks or whatever, and. The whole week I've been telling Pam, like, I can't wait till they play my walkout song. It's just all I care about.
And then they fucked you with the wrong song.
Yeah. I was like, fuck everybody in this arena.
What was the song that you actually came out to? Do you know?
I have no idea. It was like some Oasis or something. Song. Like, I don't know. Yeah,
Did someone make a decision or did they fuck up?
Don't know. I try it. I think. Somebody told me that there was a mistake.
Somebody fucked up and they
were
playing the wrong song.
Some dickhead who loves Oasis. Like,
I guess so.
I want to hear what I want to hear, man.
Right. I mean, it's just such a contrasting, like, style of music. Like, I don't even know how you can make that mistake. Like,
it turned out to be the best part of the week.
Actually, it was
the best part of the week because by the time that happened, it was like, fuck it. Fuck it, everything, man. Just fuck it, man.
It's crazy.
Yeah, just go on.
What were you going to say that she said?
Ioana, before the fight, came like you doing the USADA drug test thing. Rose was walking back through the hallway with her official and she crossed paths with Ioana and all by herself. And Ioana, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, she like in a different tone of voice, too, like the weirdest. Like, she didn't seem like herself for a second. I mean, I'm sure she's getting in fight mode or whatever. And she's like breaking in her gloves and she's like, and I gave her like the what's up, you know? And she gave me the what's up and then she was like, she's like, I think she asked me something like, did you buy the ticket? Or I was like, what? She's like, do you believe him? Or do you believe in him or something like that?
Do you believe him? Did you buy the ticket?
Yeah.
And then she walked off.
And didn't say nothing. And I was just like, what? It was like,
did you believe him? Did you buy the ticket? She's like Kaiser Sosa. Yeah. She's giving you some fucking riddles.
Yeah, she's trying to do that like all week long. Like even in the weigh-in, you know, after the weighings and stuff, like all kinds of stuff.
Weird mind-fucky shit, right?
Yeah. Hey, yo, man, yeah. Rose came back to the locker room. Now, we're ready. All week, we've been deflecting shit. Now, Rose is a very emotional person. And we got to keep Rose straight because she comes in with the wrong look on her face. Uh-oh, something's wrong. She goes off and does the drug test and comes back. And when she sits down and says, we have to have a meeting. Now, that's code. We have to have a meeting is code for shut it down. Everybody get the fuck out. We're bouncing. We have to have a meeting is like kind of another way of saying start the countdown. We're leaving.
Okay.
We have to have a meeting. And when she said that, the way she said it, I remember everything came over me like, oh, fuck, what happened? And then when she said what Ioana said in the back, what Ioana told her, do you believe him? Did you buy the ticket? And then left without any explanation. Yo, when Rose said that to me, my fucking head exploded. And the only thing I could say was, oh, shit, I don't want to have to fucking think about this all night.
That's literally what he said. I was like, oh, dang, she fucked you too.
Oh, fuck.
Damn. Yo,
man, we've deflected everything. Since
she is a Jedi master at what she does. Like, she's the shit, you know?
Well, she's been a multiple-time world Muay Thai champion, and she just knows how to fuck with people.
Yeah.
Bruh, we deflected everything. We deflected the knuckles in the mouth and the crazy shit that she was saying.
Did you buy the ticket?
Everything. Yeah. And if she came and said that one, and we got back to – we spent a good 5 minutes.
By the way, our ticket is what – maybe she was like, oh, maybe she delayed our plane or something. Bruh, just like making all these conspiracies. Bruh,
for a good three or four minutes – Trevor, Tony, Rose, and I all sat in the locker room.
Just like silent, like, what the fuck?
Uh-oh, because that was the little thing that could have fucked everything up. Because I know I was sitting there like, what does that mean? What is that? What does that mean? Did you buy the ticket? Because when she says, do you believe him?
But you had to know it was horseshit, right? You had to know what she was doing.
Right, yeah.
But honestly, in any other circumstance.
Just in that moment, in any other circumstance. Yeah.
Like if you ran into someone at the fucking 7-Eleven and they said something like that, you'd be like, this crazy asshole. And you'd be out of your head in a minute.
Yo, man. Right. But she said it with a calm voice and then just walked off.
With, like, no accent.
She's the boogie woman.
She said, no accent. No accent. Just said it real calm. And, wow. Like, to the point where there's even a chance, and I think this one, there's even a chance you want it. No recollection of that.
Yeah.
No, maybe she didn't. I don't know, man. I just like, bro, roses be spooky sometimes, man. Like, so there's a chance that, like, just with the way the whole week went, that maybe that was, let's say, God or a higher being or something like that. Maybe that was the last test. Do you fucking believe him? Did you buy the ticket and then just walked off? That was a test of whether or not are we going to get all the way down to right here and you're going to be fucked in the head now?
Which,
now,
by the way,
now this is after the fact, remastering the system.
By the way, like in the moment, something inside of me, I was like, I don't know what she's talking about, but just give her the thumbs up. Like, yeah, motherfucker, I believe in him. Like, you know, like, I don't know why. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, I bought all the tickets, bitch.
And
woo!
Then
Hey, yo, man. We were in the locker room, and really, Rose had to get up to go and do something over there. And when she got over there, I turned to Trevor, and Tony said, hey, yo, we in some... Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck.
That is so crazy.
Oh,
that one little silly thing where she was just trying to fuck with your head actually works.
Got it.
Right,
for about 3 minutes, we
That's
were
amazing.
Fucked up, man.
Isn't it amazing that shit like that works? They're just like a little mind fuck. You're like, what? What?
Yeah.
How? What ticket?
Who? I mean, because it's like...
Who am I believing?
Right. Yeah.
She's a wizard.
Yeah.
Hey, but when she came back and said that shit, I sat there and started thinking, I was like, what did I do?
Now, do you think at all about... You don't think at all about doing that back to her. I mean, you just fucked her up in the first round.
Right.
So, like, what... Do you say that to
her? I think I did. I did fuck her up in the head, though.
Oh, you definitely did. You fucked me up, and I was about to interview you. I'm like, she's got this 1,000-yard stare. And I was like, what were you saying? And you're like, I was saying the Lord's Prayer. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Like, there was, like, the devil... And a priest. It was like the two of you together. It was like you were doing like an exorcist.
Right.
And she was like saying she was the boogie woman. It was one of my favorite stare downs and just the build up.
Yeah.
The way you handled it was very interesting because most people handled it. They'd get in her face too. Fuck you, bitch. And there would be all
now she wins.
Like Claudia and her would get together. And I think that emotional, like, the conflict and all the extra energy that's involved in that. Like, it fucks with people's heads.
Right,
And that's what she's looking for. I think over Ioana's career, she came in as the silent killer who's destroying everybody, and then she found out that if I start talking shit to someone, they get fucked in the head before the fight even happens, and then it worked and it worked and it worked, so it got to the point where she's that one weapon right there almost replaced some of the ferociousness in her fighting, maybe.
Yeah.
Like knowing that, and that why is also why the game plan was to ghost Ioana no matter what happens. Like, we know that she needs a reaction. She's looking for something. No pictures, no videos, no social media, no interviews, no nothing. And when she says something, don't even look at her. Just like she doesn't exist. Just ghost her. Ghost her the entire time.
And because
time.
We know for a fact that even before we were signed up to fight, she was thinking about me. You know, like, she knew I was on the radar.
Of course.
For a long time.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. You had to be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a handful of contenders in the strawweight division, and you were at the top of the heap, and especially after you beat Michelle.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how we knew it. So no social media, no nothing. We just
so now
and
what?
It just feels better, you know, like not having to do all that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean,
but
it's
fun, you
know.
But does the UFC put pressure
know?
On you to try to do that kind of shit?
No.
They did, but we so honestly said, not this time, that they just understood.
Hmm. Yeah.
We very honestly said, that's not going to work out for us. We need to prepare for this fight, and we need to be all the way ready. Now, there's some interviews that need to be done, but the other little things, like how come you're not posting about it, how come you're not retweeting this picture, it's like, nope.
You know what would be hilarious? If you did a bunch of shit that had nothing to do with the fight, like almost like you're not even fighting.
Right.
Oh, I just found a cool Indian restaurant.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
You know, oh, I love this movie. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
No pad hitting, no shit talking, no motivational speeches.
Just because really, like, I think you should, like, show other sides of you other than just, like, I get kind of just bored just posting another group picture, like, oh, this is what I'm eating today, or, you know, like, or this is my workout today. I don't know. I mean, some of the workouts is definitely to be watched. Like, we got some cool footage hiding away, but.
Yeah, but everybody
but I mean, after the fight, do you post that stuff after the fight, or do you think that any of the stuff that you post, like, on workout footage, training footage, especially, like, working on technique, do you think that in any way that helps people read you?
I don't know, because it's totally different standing across from me in the ring.
You know what
I mean? Like, I could train. I mean, I trained with Tisha Torres, you know, like, and we fought each other. We've lived in the same house together, like, for multiple weeks, you know, and I'll still fight her again. You know what I mean? So it's like, you can't. I mean, there's things you could pick up, yeah, but I'm going to change it up on you. I always got another ace in my pocket, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And plus,
cool.
I like to. I don't want to keep everything to myself. You know, like I said, you want to give, you know?
Sure.
And training, the
it's a challenge to keep
getting
better.
It's so barely different, but it is still different how you can train together all day and night. But when the bell rings for a fight, it's totally different.
That's true.
You ever hear stories of Clay Guida in the gym and at practice? We've been hearing for years that Clay Guida gets thrown around at the gym all day and night, but when he gets in the ring, he can fight like a monster. They can train together all day and night, but when it comes fight time, it's just
I'm
different.
Just confident in my ability that I'm really good at what I do, you know, and it makes it more fun to share it with people and, like, you know, but I don't want to give all my secrets away. You know, you have to keep making up new ones, you know.
Listen, Rose, I'm happy you're out there because you're a lot of fun. And
thank you.
I really enjoy calling your fights, and I really did enjoy the whole week, all the press conferences and your behavior. And I think to this day, like I said, after your fight, that post-fight speech is one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, thank you.
It was awesome. And it was very genuine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you guys have an awesome relationship. It's very cool. It's very cool to see you guys and how much he cares about you and the way you guys work together. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Hopefully we can maybe not make the Mona Lisa again, but, you know, make the Picasso or something.
We called Dana White and told him after the... when they were asking for the next fight, they're trying to get us on the contract. We told them that she won the belt, so we were going to start a family. Yeah, she won the belt, so we're going to start a family now and come back in a few years. And
what did he say?
They didn't like that at all. What the fuck? It's like, nah, man, just kidding. just we're going to start a family.
April 7th, pay-per-view. I'm going to be there, and I can't wait. Thank you, Pat Barry. Thank you, Rose.
Thank you.
Thug Rose!
Yeah.
Hey, yo, man.